Well, I'm encouraged that, I may be halfway there, so I have a lot more to learn. But I'm thankful this morning that we have a God that not only is a big God, but we have a God that can lead us through to victory. And I want to write something on the board here. Well, I kind of scrunched it up there a little bit, but what I have written on the board is raise the standard. I want to turn and read a few scriptures to start with to see what this standard's all about. In Numbers, the second chapter, and the second verse will be our opening scriptures here. And this is one of the first places where standard is used. And it's with the children of Israel. And they're camped around about, and there's over 2 million of them. So a great host of the children of Israel here. And 12 different families, 12 tribes. And in Numbers, the second chapter and the second verse, it says, "Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch." So here we have, this is the children of Israel encamped around the tabernacle. And they camped in sections and families and groups. And each family had their own standard or an ensign, or we could say a flag. To symbolize each tribe, each family. And I don't know what each one looked like. Perhaps, who knows what if they had letters sewn on them, or if there was images, or what it was, or just certain colors. I don't know what these flags looked like, but each tribe knew, perhaps we could say it this way. It was a way of training the children that your flag is the purple one, all right? That's our family, and it has little yellow symbols or something on it, and that's our family, say the tribe of Judah. So you always, if you happen to get lost out there amidst all these other tents, and you know, I don't know how many thousands of tents there were, but just look for the purple flag. Look for the purple standard, and that's home. You'll find your family, and everything will be okay. But that was some of the first uses of standards, perhaps, just in the Old Testament days. But later on, as time developed and the children of Israel, they became warriors for the Lord, they would actually use them in battle. They would have these flags or these standards waving in battle. And in Psalms, the 60th chapter, in verse 4, King David is relaying here a little circumstance here in a battle where they were beaten. And it says in Psalms, the 60th chapter, verse 4, we'll turn and read that. He says, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." And I won't take time to read the rest of the chapter here, but if you look at this chapter and at the story of what King David's referring to, they had just, he's complaining and lamenting the sad state of their land. They had experienced some defeats, and he's praying for deliverance. And it's as if he's promising that I'm going to do my best, and I pray that the Lord will do his part to bring deliverance again over their enemies through God's divine assistance. But what he was doing, and it says, notice this part, "that thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." What he's doing here is referring back to a time before he was the king sitting on the throne. He's referring back to a time when he remembered where God delivered him. The times when King Saul was pursuing him, trying to kill him, even though King David was the anointed king. And all these other things that took place, and David running for his life. But yet truth prevailed. In the end, God was the one. He had already anointed King David, and God was not going to allow a finger, okay, or we should say this. God was not going to allow King David to be destroyed, because God had already anointed him to be king. So God preserved King David during that time, okay? And so through that time, and all these years, it was very tumultuous and a lot of discord and a lot of deceit going on with his son Absalom and all these things that confusion and strife and everything. But through all of that, truth prevailed. In the end, guess who was sitting on the throne? King David. In the end, God prevailed. Truth prevailed. And it's as if once King David was finally on the throne and truth prevailed, then guess what happened? All the rest of the children of Israel rallied around King David, rallied around the truth, because God raised a standard. God proved that His truth was going to prevail. What He had set to establish and what He was going to do, it prevailed. There was nothing the enemy could do to destroy it. So that was something, again, here in the Old Testament, and no doubt throughout the rest of King David's years and throughout all the rest of time of children of Israel, they still had those family flags. And I believe they would fly those flags of those standards when they went into battle. That way they knew where each tribe, where each war. And here's the thing that's impressive about this. These flags or these standards would give each of them courage. It would allow, oh, there's my brother's family, Judah, or Dan, or all those others. Oh, and there's some of my family over there. That's some of my kindred on this side. And they're all, oh, and we're fighting together. And that was encouraging and inspiring and encouraged them to press on, to fight on. Well, you know, that's nothing new, really. I should say that was old back then. But in our modern day and age, let's just consider America. Let's just consider the United States of America. We have quite a history with standards, with banners, with flags. One of the obvious ones is our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. Where did that come from? Well, if you look back in history, back in 1814, Francis Scott Key penned that poem and put it to some British tune, and a tune from England over there. Anyway, this poem that was written, the first verse of this poem became our national anthem. And it's really intriguing if you dig into the history. And there are many other stories. I'm just digging into this one. I didn't write all the words down here. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed. Someone help me out here. Yes, at the twilight. But if you go on there and then the part about the red rockets bursting in air, the bombs bursting in air. And if you research that, why were the bombs bursting in air? Do you realize that was actually a malfunction? Those bombs were not supposed to burst in air. Those bombs were supposed to burst on the fort, the American fort that the British were bombing from, the British ships in the bay. They were trying to bomb the fort. But the bombs were malfunctioning. They were bursting in air and actually streaming fire down and actually caught the fort on fire. And the amazing thing was that we could say God, you could say coincidence or luck, but I say it was God, sent a rain and actually put out the fires or the fort would have burned. But he had all these things. It looked like ultimate defeat for the Americans. This fort being bombed by the British and these bombs, but they started malfunctioning, bursting in air. They weren't bursting on the fort like they should have been, or it probably would have been destroyed. But through the night, bombardments, bombs after bombs after bombs. And in the end, our flag was still there. You know, victory, they prevailed. The Americans prevailed. And the British are thinking, how in the world? Their flag is still there? They were amazed. They were appalled. That shouldn't be, but the flag was still there. The Americans, we as Americans prevailed. But you know, that's the same with our souls. It seems like the enemy, through the night, through the difficult times, he's going to send bombs after bombs after bombs. He's going to, any way he can to destroy us, and maybe catch us on fire, so to speak. But the Lord knows how to preserve his people. Whether it's a send of rain, showers of blessings, whatever you want to call it, showers of grace. We sang about grace earlier. Whatever it is, and to give us sweet peace and knowing that he's still there. And in the end, when the fight is over and the next morning, the flag's still there. The truth has prevailed. God has prevailed. Well, there's another story in American history. And no doubt there's some in the crowd here that could tell it better than I can, that have seen some of this, perhaps. But in World War II, and the famous image in Iwo Jima, y'all remember that image? If I was a good artist, I'd try to draw it up here. But The image of these Marines holding up the flag. And now here's just a little bit of history, a little background about this as well. That the first, there was actually, that was the second flag, all right? There was a first flag that they put up on top of the hill there, but it was too small. And it's the troops and the rest of the Marines, they couldn't really see it. Where is our position? Where's our men? Where's our brothers? You know, where are they at? And they couldn't hardly see the flag. And so through all the firefight, so one of the colonels or someone said, go get a bigger flag. Go get a big one off of the ship and bring it over here. And now we can see where we're at. And so they went and got this bigger flag. And that's the one that you see them hoisting up. And some of those men that put that flag up did not survive. You know, they gave their lives for that. But so what is the real, what's the meaning of a standard, raising the standard? Well, it's to encourage one another. It's to show where each other is at. It's to show where there's power and authority with what's behind that. There's someone that's backing that flag. Well, in the case of the American flag, it's the U.S. government, that the people working at home to provide all these things and all the ammunition, all the supplies, the vehicles and all the young men that are fighting there, and they have mothers and wives and children at home that are praying and all these things going in the background. And that flag is representing, in our case, a United States of America, a united effort. That we're fighting this thing together, a common cause against the enemy. And to see that flag reminds them of their child at home. Reminds them of their mother at home. Reminds them of whoever it is, their homeland. And I'm willing to fight, to lay down my life for this thing. And it gave them courage to press on and to fight on. That's raising the standard, okay? Well, again, in biblical days, they used it, of course, in warfare. But there's a little change. There's also some analogies, some metaphors, so to speak, used. And you get into some of the prophets in Isaiah and Jeremiah. It was figuratively. Let's read Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There's a few scriptures there. Isaiah 11, verses 10 through 12. And it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant." I'm sorry, let's see. Yes, Isaiah 11, verses 10. Okay. "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and the rest, and his rest shall be glorious." So you see here is a prophecy of Jesus' ministry. What Jesus was coming to do, to set up his wonderful plan of salvation, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. But it says here, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse." Well, what does that mean? That's from the root of David, basically, from the lineage of David and a root of Jesse, and how David's kingship was set up. There was much turmoil and bickering and fighting, as I mentioned earlier, but yet in the end, King David prevailed. And it's the same with this example here. It looked like Jesus's ministry, okay, and his kingdom was going to fail. All right? Because why? He was crucified. He died on the cross. And like his disciples said, well, it's over with. Peter says, I go fishing, you know, just hang up my towel or hang up my gun or my, in his case, his sword. Just lay it all down, go back to fishing, what he knew to do. Well, that wasn't the end. And so it was with King David's and his kingship. It looked like it was going to fall apart. It wasn't going to happen as God said it was, as God ordained it to. But yet in the end, truth prevailed because God raised up a standard. Well, and again, there's many other scriptures we could read in the Old Testament. But let's shift gears here a little bit. And let's read St. John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 14. Here we have a different standard. John 3, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now let's do a little background first. I'm going to do this in reverse. How many of you all have seen these images, decals or paintings, stickers, whatever it is, on the sides of ambulances? I know there's some in here that are very familiar with this. But you know what this image, I'm going to do a crude drawing here. That's a very crude drawing. Hopefully you can see that. But it's basically a blocked six-tip star. And in the middle of this, and typically they're blue, there may be some other colors, but in the middle of that is a stick, a vertical stick or a staff, and wrapped around that is a serpent. And interestingly enough, if you look back, it doesn't take too much to figure this out, but I just read the scripture, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You see, this symbol, when anyone sees that on a vehicle, they know that they can help. They can deliver. They can help preserve life. They have, they're totally self, someone correct me if I'm wrong, Uncle Bob, but they have life support systems in these ambulances where they can keep someone alive that should be dead. They have ways of hooking you up to machines and all these things to keep you alive as long as you can before you get to the hospital. And so this symbol is representing help, deliverance, okay? But you go back in the story of Moses. You remember the story of the children of Israel. And they, again, were complaining, moaning, and grumping. And God sent some fiery serpents and amongst the children of Israel. And they started getting bit. And some started dying. And Moses saying, "Oh, Lord, this is more than we can handle, more than we can bear. Is there something you can do?" And God told Moses to get a stick and to make a brazen serpent and put it up on the stick and hoist it up there. And anyone that would turn and look to that would be healed if they were bitten by the fiery serpents. And you know, that worked. God used that as a means of delivering, of staying the plague and healing them. And that was just one of the many examples God came to the rescue. But you could say that's a standard, that's an ensign, that's a symbol of deliverance, okay? And that's something the children of Israel experienced back way back there, thousands of years ago. And they never forgot that. Can you imagine if a little child, I remember I had a very close experience with the copperhead when I was just a little boy, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And since then, I've not been very impressed with snakes, especially poisonous snakes. But it was a copperhead coiled up in the leaves. I didn't even see it. It was camouflaged in the leaves. And I'm just wandering around. I'm fixing to walk right through where this copperhead is. But our old faithful dog got in between me and this copperhead and starts barking at the copperhead. And the copperhead's coiled up. I still couldn't see it. And finally he's barking. And I hear this little rattling noise. And the copperhead is rattling his tail in the leaves. The little copperhead trying to make us think that he's a rattlesnake or something bigger than he was. But my dog Boxer was right there in between us, and I finally see it. Well, the long and short of it is, called Aunt Ida Bell. No one else was around. She came over and she killed the copperhead. But the point was, there was fear in that. I'm like, wow, and I've never forgot that. So you think of these little children, in the children of Israel, that maybe children or their parents or whoever, they got bit by these serpents. I guarantee you, they never forgot that experience of looking to that brazen serpent on a stick, and God healed them. God stayed that plague. They never forgot that. You know, it's the same with you and I. That there are things, there's times when perhaps we feel like we've been bitten by the fiery serpents, okay? We feel like we're about to die, and, oh Lord, how long is this plague going to last? And the Lord's saying, look to me. Look to, and it goes on further. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Not the serpent, okay? But it goes on to this next level in John the 12th chapter. This is really what it's talking about. John 12 and verse 32. And Jesus just said it there. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But in John, the 12th chapter, in verses 32 and 33, it says, "And if I be lifted up," this is Jesus talking, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. You see, what happened was, it changed, if you could say, from this standard, from this ensign or this symbol, to it was changed to the cross. That was Jesus dying on the cross. Lifted up a standard, a symbol, a flag, an ensign, anything to remind us of where true deliverance comes. Deliverance for the soul. You see, the serpent was just a physical symbol. It was something symbolizing a physical touch, all right? Physical deliverance. But here we have the cross that not only is for the physical, but is for the spiritual as well. For those that have been stung with the bites, the venom of sin in their lives, from these fiery serpents, the enemy going about seeking whom he may devour, to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy, with sin, destroying people's lives. And all we have to do is like it says in John 3 and 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," the cross, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." That goes beyond the grave, dear ones. That's something spiritual. That's something that's delivering you from sin. That's delivering you from yourself. And so we have to think, okay, if I be lifted up, that's what Jesus was saying here. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, lifted up on the cross, he says, "will draw all men unto me." Now think about this. Have all men really gone to Jesus, gone to Christ? Have they really all gone to the cross? No, but he's saying the cross is still there. It's still available. The blood is still available. The plan of salvation is still there. You may not see it with the physical eyes, but your and I's souls have been bought with a price. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, symbolizing him dying to sin and died a perfect, holy life, sin-free, made the ultimate sacrifice as a symbol that he has something special in mind for each and every one of us. A personal deliverance. Not just from the physical aches and pains, and oh yes, those are important. But beyond that, deliverance from ourselves. You know the scripture that says, "Take up your cross and follow me"? You remember Jesus telling them that? "Take up your cross and follow me." Well, did they have literal crosses? Like, no. Take up your cross. Take up the fact that there's going to be days you're not going to want to get up and go out and preach the gospel. You're not going to go up. You're not going to want to get up in the morning and have to face your neighbors or your boss or those that have been abusing you or taking advantage of you and feeling you're treated unjustly and unfairly. But he's saying, you go face those things and remember what I did for you on the cross. What you're experiencing, really, did you sweat as drops of blood in the Garden of Eden like Jesus did? Did we hang on the cross and have the weight of all the world's sins and the burdens on our shoulders like what Jesus experienced? And Jesus went to the nth degree, gave his life for who? You and I. That we might be saved. That we might be delivered. And he raised up this standard to all mankind. Says, "Whosoever will shall be saved." Opened up not just to the Jews, but as we read earlier in Isaiah and the prophecies, but to the Gentiles. That's you and I. To deliver us, to raise the standard that, you know what? There's deliverance for us no matter where we're at. It says to all. Whosoever. Well, and it even goes further than that. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Isaiah 59. You know, there's times in literal warfare, I've heard of stories where the It only took one glimpse of, say, the American flag. Maybe it was something just sewn on the side of one of the Marines or whoever it was. And they see that little flag or something on one of the vehicles. And maybe they're laying there. Maybe they've gotten shot and they're wounded and they're laying down and they're just, oh, I can't go on and I can't get up and fight. I'm thinking they're going to die. And then so the field scattered with wounded soldiers and some dead. And then they look around and they see a few struggling. They're getting up. But they look over and they see that American flag. And it again reminds them of their home, the reason why they're fighting. The freedoms, and it reminds them of their children, that I want to live for my baby boy or my baby daughter, whoever it is, and for my wife. I want to get back home. And so he struggles to his feet, and he fights on. And some, of course, make it home. But here in Isaiah, the 59th chapter, see, the Lord knows that we're human. And then we're going to have battles. We're going to have days, weeks, months maybe, that we may not feel like setting the world on fire, so to speak. Oh no, we haven't given up on the Lord, but we're battle weary. Maybe there's some wounds. Maybe there's some injuries. Maybe there's some hurts and all these things. Well, Isaiah 59 verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood. You ever had that happen? The enemy come in like a flood, and you're thinking, I'm just about to perish. I'm just about to be drowned. I'm just about to, I don't think I can handle anymore. This is as far as I can go. But then it says, it doesn't stop there. Yes, the enemy coming like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Thank the Lord that there is someone when you don't feel like raising up a standard. Sometimes you don't even feel like trying to find where the standard, so to speak, is at. All you can do is lift your heart to the Lord, okay? And say, Lord, I need you. And then guess what happens? The Spirit of the Lord does the heavy lifting. The Spirit of the Lord comes up and raises a standard. You know, you realize, especially back in the old warfare with the swords and the shields and spears and all those things, the true standard bearers, historians say, they were the ones carrying the flags, symbolizing who they're from, what authority they're out there, and the reason they're out there. The standard bearers are the ones that led the charge and gave the first blows against the enemy. And guess what? The standard bearers weren't way back in the back saying, go get them, boys. You know, go sick them. Go get them. No, the standard bearers were the valiant ones, the ones that had no fear of the enemy, no fear of losing their lives. And they're the ones that took the flag and they led the charge out on the field saying, here I come. You better watch out because I'm in it for death or life. You know, and that's what the Spirit of the Lord will do for us when we seems like we're weary. We don't have the strength ourselves. All we have to do, look at the cross. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord will remind us and remind those around us that look at the cross. Remember what Jesus did on the cross. And that will encourage us and inspire us. And then guess what happens? Then we start praying, then we start rejoicing, then we start fighting, we start praising the Lord and all these things. And then guess what? The enemy is scared. He tucks his tail and runs. Because if you look in this literally, what this means, shall lift up a standard against him, that literally means put him to flight. That's what that means. If you look that up, that's what the Spirit of the Lord will do for each and every one of us this morning. In our personal lives, we look to the cross, we look to the Lord, we look to where all strength and help comes from. Say, oh Lord, I need something. Remember the cross. Okay, yes, the cross, the precious cross, as the song says. Then we're inspired. Oh Lord, you paid such a high price. Oh Lord, help me not to give up. Lord, help me not to give in. Lord, would you send reinforcements? And then that Spirit of the Lord starts speaking to others. And guess what? they start praying for you. And they didn't even know you were in a great need, but yet someone 1,000 miles away, the Spirit of the Lord is lifting up a standard and He's impressing someone else. Pray for so-and-so. Pray for brother so-and-so. Pray for sister so-and-so. Pray for this need. And they start praying. And guess what? The enemy's put to flight. Because why? The Spirit of the Lord raised up a standard. Reminded all of God's children, all of God's saints of the cross and whatever situation they were in. You know, there's times we're on the mountains. We're on the mountain peaks and all, we're rejoicing with victory and all these things. And the enemy's ran for us. And all. Well, that's the time, guess what? When you can start, not that we can lay up in advance, but saying, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for me. And Lord, you see brother and sister so-and-so, they're down in the valley. And that's when the Spirit of the Lord is raising up a standard for those that are down in the valley. They need some reinforcements. So then the Lord has given us victory. So then the Lord starts giving us strength. And we're fighting, we're pressing on. And then we're helping carry the flag, so to speak. And we're fighting on. Then those that are wounded, those that are laying down, they look and they see, oh, they got the victory. And now they're running with the Lord, with the Spirit of the Lord. And oh Lord, would you give, and it inspires courage. And oh Lord, I want some of that. And that's how, guess what? You know, that's how the church grew. You look back in the early church. You remember the days when Jesus preached in his early ministry. By one message, several thousand would get fed by the little loaves of bread and fishes. That was impressive. Have you ever heard of a miracle like that since? I haven't. That was impressive. One message that Jesus preached, and he blesses the food and the multitude is fed, okay? But guess what? It gets better. After the day, or the day of Pentecost, and Peter gets up and preaches. One message, thousands of souls are not just fed, they're delivered, they're saved. That was the church growing, the early church. And it caught on like wildfire because they're sharing and testifying one with another. I remember, oh, you brother so-and-so, you used to treat your wife like this, or you used to say these certain things, you used to go these places, you used to do all these things, and you don't do them anymore. What's going on? I got saved. I had something, the Spirit of the Lord lifted up a standard in my life, and I got courage that there is deliverance. I see old Peter up there preaching. I remember what he used to be. Now he's up there, the Spirit of the Lord lifted up a standard, and there's Peter preaching. Like, well, if he did it, he's just an old fisherman. Well, so can I. You know, that's the same with you and I today. No, Spirit of the Lord can lift up a standard in our lives to remind us of the cross. To remind us, you know, a lot of times people think of the cross, oh, that's just a sad, dreary, dark, you know, gruesome thing. And that's true. You can't take that away from it. God allowed that for a reason. But the real power of the cross is that it's empty. Jesus is not still on the cross. He's ascended into heaven, interceding for us. That's the Spirit of the Lord lifting up a standard for us. That's Him up there sending the Holy Spirit. He's alive and well. The tomb is empty, the cross is empty, and He's on the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us, sending the Spirit to lift up a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and we feel like giving in, and this is it, I can't handle anymore, then I remember the empty cross. Jesus did it. Peter did it. Good old Apostle Paul did it. And all these others, I can do it too. Lord, help us to be encouraged that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord wants to lift up a standard in each and every one of our lives to deliver us, to take us to the next level, to not shrivel up and die by the wayside, all right, and be plucked up by the fowls of the air. But, oh Lord, help us to be alive and rooted and grounded in the Lord. And then we start growing and we start bearing fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord is continuing to lift up a standard. Then He can start using your life as an example, a standard of, just like Peter, that's someone that got delivered from himself. His selfish ways, he's so wrapped up in himself, he just wanted to go back to fishing. He didn't care about anything else, all those other things, the miracles he saw, just throw it all away, forget it. But God made Peter a new man. God delivered him. The Spirit of the Lord lifted up a standard in his life. And the Lord can do that with you and I today. You pray for me that I'd be faithful.